sermon. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Dressed for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi, girls. Here we are again. I can't tell you how I enjoy visiting with you, what it means to me. I'd like to hear from you. Call me at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we could chat. I'll call you back on another line after you call in, because that's our order line. But I would just love to hear from you. If you would like this disc, these lessons on Job's are on two discs. And if you would like them, just ask me for them. 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and just ask me for them. You might be interested to see our church services on the internet, www.bibleforttoday.org. And you can click on the brown bar at church time. Church time on Sunday is at 10 o'clock and 1:30 in the afternoon, and Thursday nights at 8. Or you can click on the yellow bar, and you can see a review of everything we do at the Bible for Today in regards to a public ministry. Of course, we do many other things here at Bible for Today. My husband writes books, and he has a very good question-and-answer book that he's just finished, and he's working on another one. You might be interested in them, real questions from real people with real answers. And we also have a Bible called the Define King James Bible. We had a young man visiting us this last week. His name was Joel. And he's from Alberta, Canada. But you know where he heard from us? He was in China visiting, and the pastor there was a Filipino pastor in China. And he gave our friend Joel a Bible, and it was our Define King James Bible. And in that Bible was my husband's name. And that's where he got our address here at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. And he came to see us. It was delightful. Now, we're talking about Job, and he said in Job 33:9, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Remember, he searched his own heart to see whether or not it was his sin that was causing all this suffering that he was having. He suffered his cattle, his oxen, his camels, his sheep. Everything was destroyed. His homes were destroyed. His children were killed. His servants were gone. He was left with nothing but his wife and these friends. And these friends were worth nothing as far as any help is concerned. They just criticized and criticized. I think one reason God let us see these friends of Job was because you and I are sometimes that kind of friend. We are critical, and we're not only critical behind the people's back, we're critical in front of them. We think everything they're doing is wrong, and sometimes when we don't mean to be critical, it's perceived as such. You know, I have this little article I've had a long time, Difference Between Reputation and Character. And as I think of Job, I think of his character. The circumstances amid which you live determine your reputation. The truth you believe determines your character. Now, let me say that again. The circumstances amid which you live determine your reputation. The truth you believe determine your character. Reputation is what you are supposed to be. Character is what you are. Reputation comes over one from without. Character grows up from within. Reputation is what you have when you come to a new community. Character is what you have when you go away. Reputation is made in a moment. Character is built in a lifetime. Reputation grows like a mushroom. Character grows like the oak. Your reputation is learned in an hour. Your character does not come to light for a year. A single newspaper report gives you your reputation. A life of toil gives you your character. Reputation makes you rich or makes you poor. Character makes you happy or makes you miserable. Reputation is what men say about you on your tombstone. Character is what angels say about you before the throne of God. And isn't that interesting? Reputation. I don't know what there is about when I get talking. My throat all clouds up. Now we're talking about the last person that talked with Job. His name is Elihu. He was the youngest of the four. Or maybe it was five. I've lost track already. I'm sorry. Oh my. Because he was the youngest, Elihu waited until the other men ceased speaking. I told you that before. Job, his condition was as torturous as having his feet in the stocks. He mentions that in Job 33:11. He could not escape from the misery. Think of the ever-ending, never-ending pain. Elihu concludes that Job was being chastened by God. This chastening was ceaseless. Even upon his bed there was agony. His bones hurt. I have known bone aches as a child. It is a gnawing, unending, burning, gnawing feeling. Poor Job, he could not eat. The sight of food gagged him. His skin was discolored and eaten away by the agony. Poisonous pus-filled boils. His bones protruded out of his skin. In agony, he cried out. No one cared. In anguish, he rolled upon the ground. Every bone in his body screamed for relief. Agony burned the very fiber of his soul. In anguish, he prayed for relief. His body was close to death. The grave opened its mouth, waiting. The destroyer stood by his side. Poor, pitiful Job. How much could he endure? How much more could he endure? I want to read a little bit of this from the book of Job so you can get the flavor of how he felt. Job 33:9. We'll start up there. Verse 6. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard thy voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. Goes on and on like that. It's just it's terrible what Job went through and how he felt and how people, what they said about him and how they didn't believe anything he said. In closing this particular section of Job's suffering, let's turn to the New Testament and read James 5, 10, 11, and 13, and see the end of the story. Here I read it. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Sometimes people want to act merry when they can't, when they're afflicted. And this passage says you don't have to pretend. You don't have to pretend, just pray. If you're merry and happy, then you sing psalms. By the time the book of Job is over, Elihu will be hanging his head in shame for his presumptuous words to Job, his elder. I wonder if he ever apologized. Sometimes we say unkind things, and we go our way and we forget. The sting of those words still ring in the ears of the hearer. God should convict us of this, and we should apologize. William Blaine has written, Oh, the joy of knowing all my sins are forgiven. Oh, the blessedness of going home to heaven. Oh, the rest of giving all, O Lord, to thee. Oh, the deep, sweet calm of living for eternity. That's an interesting thought, living for eternity. I think when you get older, like I am older, and you may be too, at least you are older than you were last year, and we realize that we are just mortal people. Maybe someone we loved has died recently, and death is very real. You can't pretend. And it's very final, and it's a big separation. Now, I'm not talking about the person who's died. If they know Christ as Savior, that person's with Jesus. If the person is unsaved, that person is not with Jesus, but is bound for hell. But for we who are left, it's a very lonely feeling. Even if the person was very sick, and you were glad that if they knew Christ, that they could go and be relieved of their sufferings. But we are left. We are left alone. Death is very real. So we have to think about it sometimes. We have to be ready. We have to know. Just yesterday, before I made this program, I realized that 22 years ago yesterday, my mother died. And it's as if it happened just yesterday. But, of course, it happened 22 years ago, and she died. And, of course, I have a great loss. It was a great loss because I have no one to pray for me like my mother prayed for me. And I miss those prayers. And I have no one who reads the things that I write like my mother read the things that I write. At that time, when she was living, we used to have a paper called the Bible for Today News Report. We don't have that anymore. We have other things. But my mother would read my article, which was called From the Tent Door, and she would comment on it. She would encourage me. She would tell me what pleased her, what didn't please her, and what was good and edifying for others. And when she died, there was nobody, I mean nobody, that has read my work like my mother, and who have been an encourager for me in my work. Sometimes I wonder if those I love ever read anything I say. And I asked somebody very close to me the other day if that person read what I wrote, because I was getting certain comments on it was about the life of Job. And this person said, no, I didn't read it. I'm too busy. So do you ever think that maybe some little thing a person does all the time? Could be your mother, could be a child of yours, your husband, and they do something consistently nice for you. They're kind to you in a certain area. They compliment you in a certain area. They help you in a certain area. Do you just take it for granted? Because if that person should suddenly die, you wouldn't have that comfort. You wouldn't have that help. That person would be gone. So I encourage you to thank that person for that little thing they do for you, that when they're gone, you will miss extremely much. Now let's go back to Job now. In Job 34:36-37, there's a verse in there that says, my desire is that Job may be tried because of his answers. Now this must be Elihu again. And every time when I read Elihu in his comments, I become very disturbed. Well, I hear the music, so I've overtalked. I'm sorry. Well, see you next time.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@biblefortoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care, are you?